Now, in our study through 2 Kings, and we come to chapter 12, but I'm not going to use in the study this evening 2 Kings 12. There is a parallel history that's given in 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24. So if you want to find that portion of Scripture and then go back and reference to 2 Kings chapter 12, that's what we're going to try to study this evening. I'm entitling the message from this chapter, from these three men that we read about, Joash, Jehoiada, and Zechariah. That's the name of the message. Two of these men were faithful men to the Lord until their death. Jehoiada the priest and his son Zacharias, they were faithful unto death. Even in the face of great opposition, they stood their ground and did not compromise. While the king, Joash, soon after the death of Jehoiada, went completely wrong. He was pressured to forsake the way of the worship of the Lord, and he willingly turned to idols, and sadly and quickly, tragically, he did, and he did with great consequence. The Lord killed him over it for committing what we call apostasy, that is, forsaking the way of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and going about. It says in verse 18, they left the house of the Lord, God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and the wrath of God fell upon them. Joash here, the king, had a very similar end like to that of Jehu. You remember we studied about him in 2 Kings 10, verse 31. Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord. He did some great things there in Samaria for Israel in the northern kingdom, but he did not take heed. He did not listen to the law of God, the Lord our God. Now, last week we saw the marvelous beginning of this new king. His name is Joash. He had a special beginning. Remember, he was hidden in the temple from the wrath of his own grandmother, Athaliah. Athaliah, she's called a wicked woman. He's hid in that temple of the Lord for 6 years and then anointed king at the age of just 7 years old. You remember Jehoiada brought him forth? They blew the trumpet and they announced he was king, and Jehoiada anointed him as king, and they rejoiced. How he was blessed under the ministry of the faithful priest of God, Jehoiada. Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the people, you remember, to serve the Lord. And they did with zeal for a while. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17. Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people. Between the king also and the people, there was a covenant made. And they all rejoiced, and everything seemed to be going along very well. Until that word there in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 24, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days, at 130 years old, he died. After Jehoiada died, the princes of Judah put pressure upon Joash to forsake the Lord, and quickly he did so. Now, what can we learn from the example of these three men? That of Joash, Jehoiada, and Zechariah. I want to take the yoke of the Lord, the yoke of His Word, and I want to learn the ways of salvation in Christ. I know you do too. In Romans 15, we read this verse so many times, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is written for our learning, that we might learn the lesson being taught, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Any hope that's based upon something other than the Scripture, not a good hope. A lot of people, they have a hope because of this experience or that feeling. That's not a good hope. We only have a good hope through grace based upon the word of the Lord, a good hope in Christ. He is our hope. He is our salvation. Now, two things. The first one is this. What can we learn from the history of Joash? Now, here's a lesson for us. The dangers of apostasy. Joash, in the beginning, had much zeal. Much zeal. Seemingly, he had a very good start. 7 years old, anointed king. Jehoiada taught him well, raised him well, took him under his arm, took him under his wing, schooled him, taught him, instructed him in the way of salvation. He had such a good start, but he had such a terrible end. Now, there are many warnings in Scripture about persevering in the faith, about enduring to the end. It's not how we start, it's how we end. Persevering to the end and dying in faith. I want to die in faith. I don't want to die like Joash. I want to die in faith. Joash was just 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years, and he did well until the death of his mentor, his advisor, his counselor, and the priest of God, Jehoiada. And after that, things went wrong, didn't they? Look at verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 24. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. But when he died, Joash soon departed from the faith. In his zeal, it says there in verse 4, he was minded to repair the house of the Lord, and he went about it with great zeal. He was interested and very zealous about repairing the breaches that his grandmother, that wicked woman, verse 7, had broken down the house of the Lord. He encouraged the people to give to the worthy cause of repairing the temple. And when it was not completed, after 23 years, he wanted to know why this was not done. Now, if you have 2 Kings chapter 12, notice verse 6. But it was so that in the 20th year of the king Jehoash, that's the same as Joash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. This went on for 23 years. They kept collecting money, but the work never got done. And then he stepped in. They went out to repair Solomon's temple because it was broken down and broken up by the 7 year reign of Athaliah, who worshipped Baal. When the Levites did not follow through on raising funds for the temple, Joash put a box by the gate of the temple, and everybody that came in to worship were instructed to put a gift in the box. And they gathered the money in an abundant way. When they raised funds to support, when the funds were raised to support the workers, the craftsmen, it was given to them. They hired stonemasons, they hired carpenters, they hired iron workers, and they went to work on this building. And it says there in the last part of verse 11, thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron workers and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in a state and strengthened it. I mean, it was they got busy, raised money, went to work, hired those craftsmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord. When the work was completely done and completed, it says in the last part of verse 14, when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada the priest, where they made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister, to offer with all spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually on that brazen altar. You remember that huge brazen altar? All the days of Jehoiada, every morning, every evening, a burnt offering, a sacrifice unto the Lord. All those offerings, the sin offering, the meal offering, the burnt offering, all these offerings all point to the blood sacrifice. They were all blood sacrifice offering. They were blood sacrifice, all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Morning and evening they offered sacrifices. And we know that the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ never ceases. His blood ever lives to intercede for us. And His blood continually cleanses us from all our sin. Christ is our temple. Christ is our priest. Christ is our atonement. And His sacrifice is a perpetual atonement for our sin. Joash had much zeal in restoring worship, but evidently he never truly worshiped the Lord. He was going through the motions. And he did so until the death of Jehoiada. And after that, things went downhill quickly. God had done great things for him. 40 years he reigned. And he did some things for the Lord, but now proved unfaithful to the Lord. He proved ungrateful to the Lord. And he proved false to the Lord. He was not a genuine believer. And in the end, he died in shame and died in unbelief at the hand of his own servants. When the wind of doctrine turned, he turned. When the tide was changed, he changed with it. He lost his good counselor and was influenced by the bad ones, and he quickly turned and departed from the Lord. Did he ever know the Lord? No, he didn't. Look at verse 17. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah. These were the leaders of Judah. And they made obeisance, that is, they bowed to the king. It was a big show. And the king hearkened unto them. Why would he listen to these people? Why would he listen to them? And they left the house of the Lord. And we know that Joash is right with these princes. They left the house of the Lord, God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. That's just shocking, isn't it? And the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass, sinned against God. You remember Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Boy, Joash didn't do that. He walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shouldn't have given them a hearing. But they buttered him up. They flattered him. They did obeisance. Joash not only gave permission to do it, he joined with them. How sad. How tragic. How weak. And how sinful is our flesh. Now, you're thinking, I'd never do that. Wait a minute now. Never is a pretty big word. We sang a moment ago, prone to, here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Notice, too, the aggravation of his apostasy. In addition to the guilt of it, the Lord took notice of it. In the last part of verse 18, where it says the wrath of God came upon not only Judah and Jerusalem, but it also came upon Joash. The wages of sin, death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But notice how long-suffering our great God is. Look at verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them. He didn't destroy them immediately. God sent them prophets. Prophets to declare the gospel. To bring them again unto the Lord. And that's what preaching does. When it's blessed of God, it brings his people to him. And they testified against them, against their idolatry. But they would not hear. They would not give ear. How sad. God in mercy sent prophets to them, but they would not listen. The Lord will not leave himself without a witness. He didn't in that day, did he? And he won't in our day either. Few heard them, even fewer took heed to them, and none believed the message of these prophets. Verse 20, the Lord did this in long suffering too, didn't he? And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why are you doing this? Why are you transgressing the commandments of the Lord? You cannot prosper. You cannot do this in idolatry and continue in idolatry and prosper. And because you've forsaken the Lord, he's going to forsake you. He's going to forsake you. The Lord even sent Jehoiada's, the son of Jehoiada, Zechariah, to them, filled with the Spirit, filled with the message of God, saying you cannot disregard the word of the Lord and get by with it. This too is the work of the ministry of the Lord to us today, to warn his people of their sin and to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 21. At the commandment of the king, they conspired against him, that is Zacharias, and they stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. Now how sad is this? How sad is this? In the court, the house, they did it in the house of the Lord. Didn't even take him outside the court. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done for him all those years. Jehoiada looked over him and taught him and anointed him king, but slew his son. And when he died, that is when Zechariah died, he said this, the Lord knows what you're doing. You see that in verse 22? The Lord look upon it, and he's going to require payday's coming. Payday's coming. At the commandment of Joash, they stoned to death the priest of God, Zacharias. Now don't tell me we're not wicked. The last words of Zacharias, the Lord will require it at your hands. Remember what Moses said to Achan, be sure your sin will find you out. We know from reading verse 23 down through verse 26, I won't reread this, judgment fell on Judah, Jerusalem, and Joash at the hand of a small Syrian army. God brought judgment against them. Joash gives us a strong warning about remaining faithful to the Lord, persevering in the faith. Now here's a lesson I want to take away from this. Let us never presume that we shall never fail or fall. Let us always look to the Lord. Let us always pray unto the Lord. Lord, keep me by your grace. Show me the way. Now I thought of two scriptures here. I'm going to read some others, but two that I'll quote to you. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. Say, well, never. It's a pretty big word. And I thought about this too when the Apostle Paul, right before he was executed, writing back in that second epistle to Timothy, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas walked with Paul. Demas listened to the ministry of Paul's preaching, and yet he walked right away from it. Now I want you to find Matthew 10, and let's read some scripture about persevering unto the end. And that's a lesson I want us to take away from this story this evening. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Now the Lord is sending out his 12 disciples, apostles, to preach the gospel. Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up into councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake and for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and father the child, and the child shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, the Lord had 12 apostles. You know who heard those instructions? Judas. What did he do? Committed apostasy, didn't he? He sold the Lord and betrayed the Lord. Now, there's many warnings in Scripture. Matthew 24, many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I want to, by God's grace, persevere in the faith. I want you to find some other scriptures here. Find Colossians chapter 1. The warnings about apostasy, forsaking the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, we know verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. One more verse. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews gives us warnings about persevering in the faith. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. See that? Verse 12. An evil heart of unbelief. Now, how's that demonstrated? In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. When the Lord talks about those believers, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, by faith, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed they were pilgrims and strangers on this earth. Now, if you want to turn and read this with me, you can. 1 John chapter 2. We had this not too long ago in our Bible study. Verse 19, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. So that's the first part of this message, but I don't want to leave you on that sour note. I want to leave you with some hope. Some hope. The second lesson to be learned here is the blessing of persevering in the faith. Now, warning against apostasy, and then the blessing about persevering in the faith. We see that in the example of Jehoiada and his son, Zechariah. Jehoiada lived 130 years, and he faithfully served the Lord. Now, you think about it. The time in which he lived, there was great turmoil. There was great persecution. There weren't many in Israel that worshiped God at all. But this man remained faithful. And when Athaliah went about to wipe out the whole house of Azariah, you remember, they took the young son Joash and hit him. We see the blessing of persevering in the faith in that in Jehoiada and his son Zechariah. They show us the blessedness of remaining faithful in a time of persecution and dying in the faith. They did contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. You remember our Lord said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Right, blessed are they which die in the Lord from henceforth." Jehoiada lived 10 years longer than faithful Moses. The Lord gave him many years to serve him, and he did so faithfully. And when his ministry was over, the Lord took him home to be absent from his body, to be present with the Lord. They buried him, it says in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 24. They buried him in the city of David among the kings. They gave him a kingly funeral because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. They buried him among the kings because of his faithful service to the people of the Lord and toward our great God. The Apostle Paul said, "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Remember, he saved the house of David from extinction by hiding Joash in the temple for 6 years. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised up through that young son, Joash, the son of God, the son of David. The other example of perseverance in the face of opposition is that of Zechariah. He stands before us as a true example of what true faith does. What true faith does. Verse 20, 2 Chronicles 20. "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, said unto them, Thus saith God, Why do you transgress, ye the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he will also forsake you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done unto him, but slew his son." And his other sons, as it says over there in verse 25, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada, which he slew. And he said, Zechariah, his dying word, "The Lord look upon it, and the Lord will require it." The Lord says of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 23:35, that's why we started there, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. Now we know the story of Abel, don't we? Abel believed God and brought that blood sacrifice, and the Lord had respect unto that sacrifice. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, whom you slew between the altar and the temple. The Lord says of Abel and Zechariah, they were righteous men. Now, how were they righteous? They were righteous only in Christ. They were justified only by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says of Abel and Zechariah, they were righteous men. Now, turn back to the book of Hebrews and look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. God says this of Abel, and He says this of Zechariah as well, verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was righteous. God testifying of His gifts, And he being dead yet speaketh. Both Abel and Zechariah were righteous men in Christ. Both men gave their life contending for the gospel of God's grace in Christ, and would rather die than compromise. Like Stephen of old. Remember in Acts chapter 7? When he preached that glorious sermon that God gives us in Acts chapter 7. And they picked up stones and they ran upon him like a pack of wild dogs and gnashed on him with their teeth. And then they picked up stones and stoned him. And Stephen called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He died in faith. Jehoiada died in faith. Zechariah died in faith. Stephen died in faith. Even Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. Isn't that the death you desire? To die in the Lord? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. To die in faith. May the Lord give us grace to persevere in the faith and to die believing God. Believing God. Now, I want you to turn back to the book of Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter 12. We are surrounded here, it says, with a great cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Let us run with patience the race of faith, the walk of faith, the just shall live by faith, looking unto our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. Turn to one other scripture, a couple pages over, 2 Timothy chapter 4. When the Apostle Paul was winding up, sitting on death row in Rome, when he knows and he hears the executioner is coming in a day or two, he said in verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've run the race. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's the gift of righteousness. It's a gift of salvation, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. The apostle closed Ephesians, that letter in chapter 6, verse 10. He said, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Don't trust yourselves. You'll mess up. Trust Him. Looking unto Him. The only way we can persevere. Don't look in here. Don't trust yourself. You'll make a shipwreck of the faith. But trust Him. Look to Him and Him alone.